My guest, Larry Randolph, just provokes me to jealousy. He comes from three generations of prophets, people that knew things. As a matter of fact, get this, Larry saw newspaper headlines for the next 7 years. Can you imagine having that kind of information? I mean, he saw it now for what's going to be happening in the future. Larry, you really provoke me to jealousy, but let's go back to your grandfather. What was he like?
Well, actually, his name goes beyond that. I have a great Uncle Newton, who was a blind healer. You know, and he did miracles and blind eyes, lame people were healed. And then, of course, my grandfather also had a very strong prophetic gifting and ministry gift, and pastoral gift, as well as my father, who had an extraordinary word of knowledge and passion for Jesus and a healing gift.
That was just out of curiosity, as a young person, I saw pictures of you preaching at a young, how old were you?
6 years old.
6 years old.
Yes.
My goodness, they start early in your family.
What
kind of memory do you have of your father's word of knowledge being activated?
Yes, my memory goes all the way back as far as I remember. My first memories of life is under a church pew and hearing my father preach. But my father did have an extraordinary prophetic gift. He knew things. And one thing that he would know, for instance, was when people would come to the church for the first time, there on occasion, he would know their names. He would know their
would
situation.
Would he know their full name?
No, or usually just their first name.
Well, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. And he would tell me about it. Next Sunday, Barbara's coming. She has a problem. We need to pray for her. She's wants to take her life. And next Sunday, there would be a lady, new lady, and what's your name, Barbara? You know, what is your problem? That would be a problem. So I grew up in that environment. I thought it was normal. I thought everybody did that.
You know what? If everyone grew up in that environment, it would be normal.
Yes.
Everyone would be doing that.
Yes.
But you also had a mentor that sounds fascinating to me. I wish I had known him. Tell me about him.
His name was Robert Mitchell. Robert was an extraordinary, dear man. I miss him today. He was born in the 1890s. He had been involved with Smith Wigglesworth and all through the Reformation of the Pentecostal movement in the 20s and Azusa and on up through A.E. Allen Branham, other names that a lot of your guests may not know about, but was important to him. And I met the Lord in later years in life, became a missionary, went completely blind when he was in his 50s for 5 years, totally blind. But in the process of the blindness, his wife read the Bible to him every day for 5 years. He memorized every word in the Bible. And in addition to just being a walking Bible, he had also had a gift of healing and a prophetic gift that was incredible. He too would know when people were coming to his house. Sometimes he'd know who they were and their needs, you know, and then he would tell them and there would be a tremendous healing.
So Larry, as a normal person being raised with a heritage like that,
yes.
Do you know people's names sometimes?
Sometimes in my
Tell me one meeting.
Well, recently I was in Minneapolis doing a conference, and the first night that I spoke, I had a dream about a man named John that I gave a prophetic word to. And I prophesied over about his destiny, and I saw him in the dream. So the next night when I spoke, there was probably 1,200 people in the meeting, so it was hard to find him to see his face. But I walked through the middle of the auditorium in my ministry time, and I saw him on my left, the same man that was in the dream. And I stood him up and talked to him about his destiny. He was very surprised. And also the Lord had told me his grandfather's name as well. And I talked to him. I believe his grandfather was William, if I'm getting it right. And he was absolutely ministered to in an incredible way, that God would speak to him and would know him by name and know who he is and what he was. So that's one of numerous examples that happens in meetings.
The thing that I really appreciate about Larry is it's contagious. Just as he hung around these family members and it was normal for him, well, he's written a book and as a matter of fact, I learned something so fantastic from his book. Larry, you have a chapter there called Broken Receivers. Explain
yes.
that.
In a nutshell, Broken Receivers actually has this beginnings in the Garden of Eden. It was in the Garden of Eden that the Creator, God, created Adam and Eve, and there was this incredible communication. Scripture said that he walked and talked with Adam and Eve, and because of the fall of Adam and Eve, there was this disconnect, and Adam and Eve were disenfranchised from the voice of the Lord. And so they lost that sweet communion, that talk, that fellowship with God in the garden for you know, centuries and centuries and centuries, of which, of course, is being reestablished through Jesus. And he is the reconnector to that broken receiver. Actually, he's called the Word of God.
Is there another way to connect with the same intimacy that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden we read about besides Jesus?
There is no other way to regain that. He is the only way. He is the voice. He is the express image of the Father, is what the Bible says. And he is the door. He himself said, I'm the door.
Okay, when things are connected, this is the thing that is so fascinating about your book. I think in terms, because it's, I'm connected.
Yes.
I know Jesus. When you're connected, though, we expect God to speak like the movie about Moses.
Charlton Heston
in a booming voice.
Yes.
This is God speaking to you. And I say, yes, sir. And he does that sometimes.
Yes.
But he speaks in so many different ways that you've been able to identify. Tell me one.
I'll give you one. Most people have this one, and they don't know it's God talking to them. Impressions. And what I mean by impression, there's a feeling, an intuition, a perceptiveness, a gut feeling. I know you've had it where you go, that's that faint feeling that you know something or feel something, but you're unsure, and you go, oh, that was just me. And a week later, you find out that was absolutely correct. That was true. And God speaks to us through our spirit and through our soul and with slight impressions.
Why
and
is it that we don't launch out when we have those slight impressions?
Because we don't trust and believe that that is God talking to our
spirit. Okay, from now on, we're going to trust and believe that it's God speaking to us. Don't go away, because we're going to find out about a visitation that he had with Jesus. Don't go away.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Larry Randolph. And Larry Randolph comes from generations of prophets, people that knew the future. Larry, I am so fascinated by not that just you know the future, not that you just hear God, but when people read your book, they're going to understand for the first time that God works with us in different levels.
Yes.
And most we think it's just the voice, spoken word, audible, booming
yes.
voice, but there's so many different ways. Tell me about the time that Jesus visited you.
I was a young man pastoring a church in 1974, and it was a commissioning from the Lord. To be very short, it's too long of a story. It's in my book, The Spirit Talk. But I was lying down to sleep late one night, and I heard the noise of someone walking beside my bedroom window. And as this noise turned the corner, I realized that it was a divine being, because of the presence was incredible. And the awe was incredible. And it was Jesus. He stooped over, put his cheek by the screen window, and begin to radiate the most incredible love I'd ever experienced in my life. Sid, I don't know how to say it. It's been that long, and I still want to weep when I think about it, because he was anything I'd ever done, anything I'd ever thought, anything that I was ever going to do was just unconditionally forgiven by him if I would ask for forgiveness. He loved me totally. He loved me unconditionally.
I think most people don't believe he loves that much. It's too good.
It's too good. But it was so strong that his love took on form. It took on a red cloud. It was like a haze that hung in the atmosphere. And when I breathed it in, I was breathing the liquid love of God. And I could hardly breathe because I was suffocating under it.
But you know what I'm thinking? If someone has cancer in the lungs,
they
breathe that in.
Yeah.
And there's no room for cancer.
Well, what I was healed of in that, in a sense, was more of an emotional, spiritual thing of timidity. I was healed of a sense of no purpose, because what Jesus did, he started talking to me. It was an audible voice. And he said to me, look at your hands. And I looked at my hands, and he said to me, he quoted a scripture from the beloved King David in the Psalms. David said, I am fearfully and awesomely, wonderfully made. And he said to me, you're fearfully, awesomely, and wonderfully made. You're one of a kind. You're an extraordinary human being. There's none like you. I've made you just as you are, and I love you unconditionally. And you have a divine purpose that no one else could do. You have a gifting, but I want you to, this is what came across to me, I don't want you to focus much on your gifting. I want you to focus on the love you're filling this room, because the love of God is bigger than any gifting. And it's taken me my lifetime to figure out what he meant by that. And if I can say this, Sid, this is what he meant by that. Some people, a lot of people, psychics have gifts. A lot of people have gifts and prophetic gifts, but their hearts are small. Their gifts are big, but their hearts are small. And it's taken me my whole life to figure out that what the Lord is after is a heart that's big. And in other words, you minister from your heart. You don't minister from your gift. Your motivation for who you are comes from the heart of love for people that he had for me, not for my gifting. And I'm learning that if my heart is big and if I love people, my gifting will run hard to catch up with it. On the other hand, I see people who have big giftings. Psychics have big giftings, but their heart is dead, and you don't feel that love of the Creator for the creation.
And so the only way their heart can have the life of God is to have God in their heart, and God in their heart is to believe that Jesus died for their sins.
Absolutely.
Now, there was something you told me the Lord told you about the hands and how they should be used.
Yes. Well, he said to me, look at your hands. And he asked me a question, why did I put your hands on your arms? And in humor, I thought, to feed myself, maybe. I don't know, Lord, to hug to him. And he said to me, I put your hands on your arms because your hands are an extension of me. And I'm not in this physical world now, and you are. And you're my hands extended. And he said, I never want you to shove with your hands or push with your hands or hit someone with your hands or to push people away with your hands. Your hands are made for healing. Your hands are made to embrace, to affirm people, to touch people, to minister to people, to encourage people. And he taught me the use of the human hand and how precious our hands are. And then he reminded me that how when blind people came and people that were sick came, he would touch them with his hands. And then he showed me this, I saw this picture of him with little children on his lap as the Gospels portray him, this Jesus. He put his hands on him, he touched little children. He taught me that the hands are an extension of his kingdom and the way we use our hands and, of course, the way we use our reflective voices and the way, the manner that we,
you know what that reminds me of, Larry? I interviewed, do you remember the serial killer? His name was Son of Sam.
I do.
I interviewed him.
You did?
And this is what he said. He's in prison. He's got multiple life. He'll spend forever in prison.
Yes.
And he's Jewish, and he became a believer in the Messiah. And he took his hands, and he said, you see, I use these hands to strangle people. Yes. Now I use these hands to love people.
That's amazing. That's amazing. That's what my Robert Mitchell, my old mentor, used to do to me. He would set me in a chair, and he died at 100 years old. He mentored me for 10 years, this incredible old prophet, and he would put his hands very tenderly on my face, very gently, and he would impart to me the love of God and the peace and who he was and his gifting, and he did that hundreds of times.
Can you impart the prophetic gifting to people that hunger for this by praying for them the way he prayed, imparted to you?
I think there's a lot of factors that are involved. One, the person has to be open to that and has to have a propensity toward that and a leaning toward that. And the other person must have a strong gifting. I think there's a measure. It's not an instant overnight. In other words, you have nothing, now you have everything. Mm-hmm. But I prefer the word stir up. You know, maybe that's a better word.
Stir.
In other words, to stir your spirit,
okay,
to stir your heart up, to embrace something. And yes, there is an impart. There is a giving. Because with our hands, we give away the essence of who we are with our hands.
I want to find out what Larry saw in those newspaper headlines for years in the future. And I want Larry to also pray for a stirring up, right?
Yes,
stirring
yes.
up of those gifts
an
that
excitement.
Are inside. An excitement. Don't go away.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Larry Randolph, and there's so many exciting things, Larry, to be talking about. I love your book on Spirit Talk because you show so many different ways that God speaks to us that most of us are missing these ways. But the one that most excites me is the coming shift. What is the coming shift?
Coming shift. I had an angelic encounter several years ago where there was a conversation about changes in the earth. And the essence of the conversation was that we're standing at the threshold of an incredible paradigm shift, incredible changes. And they're bittersweet. Some of them are going to be extraordinarily suite, and some of the changes are going to be catastrophic, going to be devastating. So, and I felt the Lord was instructing me to talk to people about pre-positioning themselves and shifting themselves for what is coming, because it's all about position.
If they don't shift themselves, what is the repercussion?
The repercussions. Well, the shift covers a lot. I think covers.
No, but what I mean, if God tells them to say go from the East Coast to the West Coast, and they don't go, what's the repercussion?
Yes. Let me put it this way. I think extreme purpose in God requires extreme obedience to God. So the repercussions are if you don't obey that impression you have, that word from God that you have, that feelings you have to obey God. The end result is you could be misplaced geographically or misplaced spiritually or in your job or whatever, not be able to catch the wave of the purpose that God has for you in this coming era that we're coming into that's going to be incredibly unprecedented.
I mean, you talk about such things as changing in gifting, changing in a person like that is a pastor, becoming a businessman, a person that's a businessman, becoming an evangelist. I mean, it's why is God doing all this shifting? What's the purpose?
He's doing most because we have messed it all up. We have a lot of misplaced gifting. We have people managing McDonald's who should be in the pulpit. We have people in the pulpit in churches who should be managing McDonald's. And I don't mean that in any demeaning way. I'm just saying that so many people don't understand their purpose, their calling, so they live a life of misplaced purpose in the shadows of their destiny and never touch their potential destiny that I talked about earlier, that Jesus has given us to become something unique and different than everyone else. And I believe that's the purpose for God, to align all of us into a place where we're in position, like an army is in position, is shifted in the right ranks so that we can truly be overcomers in the sense of overcoming whatever obstacles are in front of us and facing the future that's to come. Because Jesus did say in the Bible, in the last days, great calamities would come on the earth, great things would happen, and we really do need to be ready for those things.
All right, you saw the next year's headlines in the newspaper. That's pretty good stuff. Can you tell me a couple of headlines you saw?
Again, I had an angelic visitation. It was a large angel that gave me a book. And I can't go into the details about the book, but he said, throw it to the floor. And as I dropped on the floor, which to me was a representation of I have no control over it, humility, it became like a screen of a TV, and I saw headlines flipping. They were going so fast, I can't remember 90% of them, but I felt the time that I would when the time was appropriate. But I do remember catching some of them. And one of them that was really interesting to me is that around 2008, which would be next year, I saw a great shift, a great change happening in Hollywood. And I saw some premature death happening, and I was sorry to see that. Premature death, and I'm not saying that God's causing that. I'm
now,
saying it's an indicator.
Did you see the actual names of the people?
Yes, I did, but that would not be
appropriate
to say that. But it was, you know.
Well, when these people that you saw in the headlines die, what's going to happen?
Especially this one person.
What effect will it have?
Younger person. I felt that it meant that things are changing. There's a shift coming to Hollywood. The old things are dying. Old things are passing away. Some of the old immorality and some of the old resistance to God that's been in Hollywood is changing because God loves Hollywood. God loves every community, every culture, God, every people group, and he's invading every people group, every culture. And so I feel like it was a kind of a sign that the old is dying and that God is doing something.
Well, let the old rest in peace.
Yes.
What did you see about famine?
I saw the year 2013, and that was an interesting year. 2013, I saw an extreme famine, and I don't know the country or the region other than it was Eastern, and it had to do with the, when I say Eastern, the Baltics all the way through Middle East. Middle East may be the wrong word, but anyway, when I say Eastern globe, you know what I mean by that. Mm-hmm. And I saw extreme famine there, but I already knew some of that was coming because the Lord had recently talked to me about Joseph's famine and how that there were 7 years of plenty, then 7 years of famine were coming. So I believe 13 is going to be the beginning of calamity that Jesus talked about. But what excites me, Sid, is that it's bittersweet. In other words, the fact that famine came on the earth in Joseph's time, well, Joseph and his precious father Jacob and their house were prospered better than ever. So those that are in God,
Larry,
it's going to be great.
I have to interview Larry. I have to interrupt Larry. Let me tell you something. Remember he talked about stirring up what is within people? I'm going to have him pray, but I pray in Yeshua's name that you be stirred up right now, that the gifts within you would be deposited in the people in Yeshua's name. Pray right now.
I will. I think I'd like to pray, talk to you, but you that have heard, many of you have been hearing God, and you don't know you've been hearing God. You have mental pictures, you have what you think is intuition, things, coincidences are happening, things in nature, you're seeing and go, that's odd, that's strange, and what you don't realize is that God is trying to communicate with your broken receivers I talk about, mainly because He loves you tremendously, and He's a talking God, and He loves to talk to His creation, you're His creation, and He wants to commune. He's desperate to fellowship with you, and somehow we've lost that. Maybe you've lost that. I want to encourage you, I want to stir you up and say, have faith in that intuitiveness that you feel inside, and that sense, especially when it comes with a sense of the love of God and a feeling in a sense that you have a purpose and you have a destiny. So I want to stir that up, and I want to speak into that, into your heart, into your life. And I want you to say, I want to say to you, be encouraged and be filled with faith. Because here's what you have to know. You are a beautifully, wonderfully, extraordinary, one of a kind, one in a million, child of design with destiny encoded in your DNA. And only you can give the world what you have. But you can't do that unless God is in your heart, because He is that voice that speaks through you to express the extraordinary person that you are. So my whole passion in life is to get people to see that God is talking to you. You don't know it, you can't hear it, and He's talking to you because you're important and you're extraordinary, and He wants to express a side of His vocabulary and His person through you like no other person. You're incredible.
Pray for stirring up their gifts. Now,
I will do that.
Very quickly, though.
Lord, we pray that You would stir up the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of prophecy, knowing things, the gift of hearing from God, that You would take the barriers away that was lost in the Garden of Eden, that You would reconnect people to the Creator, and that their gifts would become passionate and their desire to hear from God would be passionate. I impart that, and I speak that. And I speak right now, this is going to air later, but there's a man named Robert who has cancer, who's terminal, and your doctor has told you you're terminal. Your doctor's name has a J in it, meaning it begins with a J. I'm not sure how his whole name, but there's healing. If you will believe what I'm saying, that God's talking to you, God's going to talk to you, and in the talking, you're going to be healed, and there will be a testimony come back through this when it's aired, because God is desperate to touch people and talk to people.
Larry? There's someone's left eye that has been healed from cancer.
Yes.
You are healed in Yeshua's name. And someone's back is being literally straightened. All the pain is, spine is being straightened. You are healed in Yeshua's name. Remember this. If you want your receiver to start operating, if you really want to hear God, if you really want to find out why you're on planet Earth, if you really want to shift as God is shifting people, there's no other name given unto men in which we must be saved but the name of Yeshua, Hebrew for Jesus. I'd like to say there's lots of different ways, but narrow is the way that leads to life. You want life, you want your receiver restored. It's up to you, but there's enough of the presence of God on you right now for you to have your breakthrough. Yeshua.